In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Let us flee from the pride of the Pharisee. So says the first line of our Kentuckian hymn for this Sunday of the Publican and the Pharisee. The beginning of our pre-Lenten Sundays, and the beginning of our long Lenten journey starts with, let us flee from the pride of the Pharisee. Now, there are a lot of different kinds of pride in the world. There are even good kinds of pride, and we'll actually talk about good pride at adult ed today. But our hymn tells us to flee from the pride of the Pharisee, which means that must be a bad pride, a bad sort. So what is this pride of the Pharisee? Well, it references our gospel lesson today. Two men go up to the temple to pray. One is a tax collector, which by now we should be aware of what a cheat, a scoundrel, a traitor such a person was in those days. There were no governing laws. They could just collect what they want so long as they turn over the right amount to the enemy Romans. They were much more like a mafia protection racket than like the Internal Revenue Service. And then there's this Pharisee. He's from a group that tries to strictly follow all the religious laws, all the religious practices to the letter. Now you might ask, well, what's wrong with that? Well, our Kentuckian hymn doesn't say flee from the deeds of the Pharisee. It says flee from the pride of the Pharisee. This Pharisee comes to the temple to pray, but then he stands before God listing all of his perceived accomplishments and comparing himself to the despised tax collector praying quietly in the corner. It's very telling to remember the context of why Jesus tells this story in the first place. If you go back to just before the story, it says in verse 9, it says, Jesus spoke this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on others. The pride of the Pharisee has these two aspects, trusting in yourself that you're righteous and then looking down on others. The two marks of the pride of the Pharisee is to see myself up here and to see others down here. The me up here part of pride, that's to see your goodness as your own and not as the gift from God that it is. When we take credit for goodness in the goodness inside ourselves, and when we take credit for the good things that we do as our own doing, as our own accomplishment, it means we've forgotten God. St. Theophylact says, when a person ascribes his accomplishments to himself, it is nothing less than a denial of God, a denial of God to ascribe your accomplishments to yourself. And think about it, if God is the source of all good, but we take credit for the good things we do, then we're essentially saying that God had no part in it. I mean, look at the Pharisee's prayer. He says, God, I thank you that I am not like others. I am not an extortioner. I am not an adulterer or like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Do you notice how many times he says I in three sentences? I. What he doesn't recognize is that the good things he does are from God. If someone gives you a gift, you have no cause to be proud. I mean, to be sure, you can be proud of the person who gave it to you, but you have no reason to find pride in yourself simply because someone gave you a gift. If two brothers go out to a fancy New York restaurant where a jacket is required, but neither one wore a jacket that day, and the maitre d' has only one sport coat to lend, the brother who gets the maitre d' sport coat has no reason to be proud. Grateful, yes, but proud, no. The Pharisee's righteous deeds, even his knowledge of how to behave, those are gifts from God. And yet he sees himself as up here. And if he sees himself as the source of his own goodness, in doing so, he denies God. And the seeing myself up here, well, it always results in seeing someone else down here. The two brothers that went to that fancy restaurant, both underdressed. The brother that got the sport coat from the maitre d', If he puts that sport coat on with pride, I guarantee he's going to look at his brother and go, ha ha, I'm dressed better than you are. It's going to happen. If he puts it on with pride, pride will lead to a comparison. Look, I'm better than you, even though the coat was a gift. When we have self-pride in our righteousness, we not only deny God as gift giver, we inevitably look down on others. And that's just what our Pharisee did in today's lesson. He says, I'm glad I'm not like that tax collector. And we discussed this story in youth group this past Wednesday, and we did a little exercise. I gave them 3 minutes to write down as many ways as they could think of that people look down on somebody else, that people look down on others. And in just 3 minutes' time, I clocked them, they came up with 40 unique answers and 30 additional answers where they matched somebody else in the group in ways in which someone would look down on somebody else. That's a total of 70 ways in just 3 minutes of brainstorming. 70 ways that we look down on others. And that list of ways we look down on others had a bunch of things you'd expect, like race and gender and religion and appearance and weight and clothes and money and possessions, all the things that people judge each other for. But with a list of 70, it also had quite a few more subtle ways we humans look down on others. On their health, their mental illness, even things like food allergies, age, hair color, who their relatives are, what their name is, disabilities, job, opinions, education, a bunch of things that someone might not even have any control over, and we still have a tendency to look down on people for a lot of the things on that list. And I think what that exercise can teach us is this. Even if we think we're not proud people, every time I look down on someone else for any reason, and there are a lot, I actually prove that I do suffer from self-pride. It means I see myself up here if I see someone else down here. That's simple logic. It also means that I'm the person that Jesus told this parable to. Because it says, Jesus told this parable to people who trust in themselves as being righteous and those who look down on others. It means Jesus told this parable to me. But it also means that Jesus thinks we're teachable, or he wouldn't have told us the parable in the first place. It means Jesus thinks that there must be hope for us. The beginning of our long Lenten journey has arrived. And the church gives us our foundational lesson in the very first line of our Kentuckian hymn. And it is a lesson that we should carry with us throughout this entire season. Let us flee from the pride of the Pharisee. Amen.